Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
I have a couple of friends in this unique situation, and I'm just wondering how they deal with it. It's actually three sets of couples where one of them in the relationship drinks alcohol mm-hmm. and the other one doesn't like really at all. And a couple of the two out of the three couples, the one person that doesn't really drink only drinks like occasionally or would have like one glass of wine or like one beer. And then that's it. They just don't like it. Doesn't make them feel good. So they just don't drink. And then their partner drinks a lot. And this is in two of the couples. And then in the third couple, I don't know them as well, but it seems that one doesn't drink at all. And I'm not sure for what reasons, but then the other one does drink. Mm-hmm. So I just am curious because it seems to me to be an issue that continually comes up, especially in the two couples that I know better than the others. It seems to be a constant recurring issue because the one who doesn't drink tends to end up taking care of or mm-hmm. being the designated driver or whatever for the one who does drink.
Do they seem to mind or are they cool with it?
Yeah, no, I think they seem to mind. Mm. It seems to be an issue in the relationship because the one who doesn't drink always seems to feel like this responsibility and sure. this irritation by the one who does drink.
Well, they feel like a parent because you have to watch out. You have to be the designated driver. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that could work.
And they always want to go home earlier than the one who wants to drink.
Sure.
You know, they're ready. mm-hmm. You know, if they go to a party or a gathering or whatever, like 1 hour and done. They're good to go after like 1 hour. They want to visit, chit chat, whatever. And then they're ready to go home and sure, turn on a movie and veg out or go to bed or whatever.
They don't have the alcohol to make everybody else interesting.
Right.
Well, nothing's worse than being at a party full of drunk people and you're the sober one. Because everything is 10 times more annoying.
Yeah. So anyway, I just don't know how they do it. I don't know how they handle it. And I wonder if it's something that would eventually split them up. Because the three couples I'm talking about are just dating. They're not married couples. Uh-huh. So at that point, you know, it could become a deal breaker at one point.
See, now it's been just the opposite experience for me when I've known couples that have been in this situation. Because generally, the person that doesn't drink is a control person. It's the reason why they don't drink, is because they like being in control and the alcohol sort of takes over and they don't feel in control anymore. Mm-hmm. So they've never said it publicly to me before, but I wonder if we're playing psychologist, if there's a certain amount of like, if they enjoy being that controller of their spouse. Like they get to control the relationship in that part because the spouse is sort of out of control and they're...
So it's a power, weird veiled power thing.
It's their comfort zone. They're comfortable in right. control. So if their spouse drinks, it actually makes them more attractive to you because in that case, you get to be in control. Does that make any sense?
I understand Maybe. Where you're coming from, but the couples that I know, it seems to end up being more of an irritation to them. They're always irritated at the drinking or at the stupid things that the person who's drinking says or at the not wanting to get up early in the morning and get motivated the next day. Mm-hmm. And like all of the, like to me, it seems like a constant source of irritation for the person who doesn't drink in the relationship. And like, it's like a roll their eyes, totally annoyed, frustrated thing rather than a control thing. But I understand the psychology where mm-hmm. you're coming from. I just don't know how it works because I don't know. Like, I think if you both want to go out and have a good time together and you're both drinking, you have a good time, you know what? Just take a cab out, take a cab home, and you know what I'm saying? Like, call it a day and you're at least on the same page. Or right. if you both don't drink at all, then you just do different things and you don't go out to the bars and you do, you know, totally different things on the weekends, then it seems to me that it would work mm-hmm. and that it would eventually work if these couples were to get married, then to move forward and to have children and all that kind of stuff.
404-741-Q100. Hey, Dana.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Great. Good. Thank you.
I just had this fight with my boyfriend over the weekend. It was his birthday. And, you know, he drank a whole bottle. And not maybe because I don't drink, this may not be a lot. But he drank a whole bottle of Hennessy and Ooh. Had to go to work the next morning at 7:30, and it just really annoyed me that you would be that irresponsible to drink that much, knowing that you have to get up early in the morning. And I mean, to me, he drinks a lot. And I, again, I don't drink at all, so what I may think is a lot may not be a lot. But it's just, you know, and then, you know, he complains about he doesn't have money for this, but you can find $30 for something that, you know, is just damaging. I think our relationship is so annoying to me.
Is it a deal breaker at some point?
You know, eventually, I think so, because this is the one area that I really just get so annoyed with him. And, he smokes. I don't smoke either. So it's just like all the habits that I don't have, he has. And, I mean, he's a good person, but it's just really annoying at this point. I don't know what to do. It just seems like
if you guys are going to be together long term and get married and have a family and have children, like, you need to be on the same page with all of that, because to me, from the outside looking in, it would only continue to look to make it worse and to divide you as a couple.
Hey, Kelly, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say that I am a total control freak, Bert. You are totally right. I do not drink, but my husband does. Everywhere we go.
Does it cause any fights ever?
No.
Because that's your place of comfort right there, right?
You're totally okay with it?
Yes. I will maybe have one or two drinks, but it's not like I'm not ever the one that gets totally wasted. He is.
I think it's different when you don't drink at all than if you can have one or two drinks. So I think you can sometimes understand it.
Yeah. Stace and I are kind of dabbling in this right now. We had a couple of really bad weekends as far as drinking goes.
Yeah.
And we have both decided to handle it differently. I have gone cold turkey. I'm just like, I don't want to drink. In fact, I was out with these guys on Friday night at Stats and just decided I don't want one sip of alcohol.
We're at Stats and we're at the tap tables.
Where
the beer is delivered to you.
We get to do it right there at the table.
Like a spring.
And you didn't drink at all?
I didn't have one sip of alcohol.
Not one. I'm
impressed. Had a big fancy club soda.
It was hard. And it was really difficult because when you're not drinking, that beer looked like it came right out of a commercial.
And I'll tell you what.
It looks like the best beer you could ever drink.
Ever seen in my life.
And the funny thing was, there were a bunch of us standing around, and I said, hey, y'all, I think I'm going to, I'm starving, so I'm going to go over to Stats and get a sandwich and a beer. You guys want to come over? And I look at Burr, and he just looked sad.
But I've decided to go cold turkey, and Stacy thinks that doesn't prove anything, that if we're going to control our alcohol, that having one or two would prove much more than not having any at all.
So I agree with her.
I don't know which one is better, but I know the route I'm going, and that's going cold turkey.
Yeah.
I can wean myself back into one or two.
Because it's like the all things in moderation, right?
Yeah, and I'm not, at this point, I'm not capable of that right now. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like going cold turkey altogether. But I can see, while we're doing this in November, how if she continues to drink and I don't, I can see it could be a source of tension between us.
Yeah, I just don't know how they do it. And the couples I know have been together for years.
Yeah.
And they're still doing it, and they're still annoyed with each other.
The Bert Show.
All right, Wendy, do you have plans tonight? Have anything on your schedule that you can't move?
I don't think so.
Should you want to think about it for a second?
No, I don't have any plans.
She was trying to pretend that she did have plans. She's like,
I wanted to sound cool and like have something to do tonight, but no, I really don't.
Isn't that part of the mojo we're talking about? Uh-huh. Like, your first reaction should always be, yeah, I've got something, but yeah. I mean, if I
but
have
I can
to
move it, yeah.
I guess I could.
I could rearrange.
Right. That should always be your first answer.
I always get nervous when you ask me if I have plans because I'm not sure what you want me to do now.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's play a game of how much do you trust the Bert Show?
Oh.
So
you're going to have to say which members. Because I think if it were a Jen Hobby Melissa Carter idea, okay. She'd be like, okay.
Right. That's a very good, very valid point. How much do you trust Jeff and I? We're going to play a little game here. All right, we have an assignment for you tonight.
I've been down this road.
Yep, that was our one time with a man.
We have an assignment for you tonight.
Okay.
Based on your trust of Jeff and I, do you want to take the assignment or not? And you only got one shot at it. Either
you can't
yes
give her
no
a hint.
No hint
on the assignment.
It's just about trust and faith in Bert and Jeff.
Oh Lord.
Oh, that's only like 15%. Oh, I'll do it.
See, that's the spirit right there. That's the Bert Show spirit coming out.
I'll do it! Really aggressive, positive manner.
Jeff, you want to tell her what our assignment is tonight?
Yes. There is an event with Kristen Stewart and Taylor Lautner that we would like you to attend.
Oh, yay! Stop it. Shut up. Are you kidding me?
Now, here's the deal. There is some work involved.
Okay.
Because the event is in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Woohoo! Stop it.
So, and there's no there's zero guarantees, but there are a couple of ins that we have that should get you fairly close to touching.
Stop
so
it.
So like red carpet?
I need a new outfit.
Like red carpet.
So, yeah.
So your assignment here, well, on one hand, you're a big fan and we know you're going to lose your mind. You sort of have to stay a little bit focused and try to get a couple of questions in with either one of them.
I'll stay focused, all right. I'll focus on that.
But here's the deal. Taylor. It's like you would, I mean, you talk about needing a new outfit or whatever. It's Knoxville, which I asked Melissa off the air earlier, about 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, and you would have to, you know, drive, and I would get there early to give time for getting lost and getting set up on the red carpet. So, I mean, you'd probably have
UT's to. UT's campus, you know, that kind of thing.
No. And also, hey, the football players up there, lock your doors and stuff. We don't want anyone.
Her car's probably a lot faster than the ones that they would use.
So, but you would just basically drive to Knoxville and get there early and camp
awesome.
Out, and we're trying to get you as much access as we can, but
that's
we have our fingers
awesome.
Crossed right now for a red carpet.
Stop it.
So it's going to take you getting probably a little bit aggressive here. I mean, Jeff is going to get you close, but
okay.
It's going to be up to you to get right up to him and hit him with a couple of questions.
I'm going to do it. If I'm going to get that close to Taylor Lautner, absolutely, I'll get aggressive.
And just a heads up
to
Jen Fallon, if she's listening, you could charge Wendy $2,000 to do afternoon traffic today.
All right.
Oh, my God,
so then you'd
really?
Have to be back tomorrow morning with the audio, because tomorrow really is the day that we need it for the opening of New Moon.
I'm going to be in a rush this afternoon. Oh, I'm so excited. When is it?
It's tonight. Candy. Like, there's not a lot of rushing.
Do everything.
Mm-mm. You're not gonna have time. Like, you gotta probably be on the road, I would say, by noon.
Okay, I can get ready really fast.
You could tell her to do anything right now, and she'd be like, "I can do
it."
That's
right.
It's not a problem. You have to go via El Paso into Dallas and then to Knoxville. You think you can make it there by 5? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I can do it.
Give me a Concorde jet, and I'll get there.
See, and what lessons have we all learned about trusting Bert and Jeff?
Trust them once, but next time, don't. Yeah.
All right, now,
awesome.
Melissa.
I'm so excited.
How much do you trust Bert and
Hell
I?
Hell no.
All right, so that's your assignment sometime, like really quickly after the show today. You drive on up to Tennessee.
Awesome.
Jeff gets you close, and you've got to elbow your way in and somehow, some way, get a mic in front of their faces and
so
shoot a couple of questions.
I am so excited.
Awesome.
Okay.
I'm going to get married tonight.
The Bert Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So, what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter ThankYou25 for 25% off. It's promo code ThankYou25 at TakeLean.com.
The Bert Show.
All right, this was Amanda on Friday.
Well, I'm 33 now, and I've never had a relationship last more than a year. Mm-hmm. You know, usually 6 months it starts to go downhill.
All right, so every day we're going to get an ex-boyfriend on with us who's going to detail for us exactly why the relationship didn't work out. Because she wants to sort of take a look at them all and try to figure out how she can get better moving forward. So we talked to this dude, John, yesterday, who dated her 13 years ago in college. We didn't get her a whole bunch. I mean, it was 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think first and foremost, you know, it was a long time ago. We were kind of young. So I'd say about half a year into being together, to me, as a 21-year-old, she just got really homebody-ish. It felt like we were in our 30s all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And her excuse for all this was like, well, you know, we should stay in because we have tests next week. And I don't know, I was more into, you know, partying.
All right, 13 years ago.
Well, and I think that's typical. Like, you know, somebody in the relationship usually is more serious about it than the other. And it just, you know, sounds like she was more wanting to be the, you know, cuddling at home rather than go out and party. And
well,
he didn't.
And it sounded like, too, yesterday in the longer conversation, that at first, the first 6 months, she was like a socialite and like wanted to go out a lot. And they had a lot, you know, mm-hmm. of stuff going in common. But then as the relationship progressed, she wanted to be home more. So he didn't like that. He wanted to still party. But he also was really nice about it and mm-hmm. said, dude, we were 21.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And he also said that she ended up graduating way before he did.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, so Nathan here is an ex-boyfriend, and we don't have to go back 13 years. We just have to go back 3 years. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How
good
are
morning.
You today?
Good, good, good.
All right, so you know what we're doing here, right? We talked to Amanda last week, and she's hip on doing this. So she's probably listening right now, and she's compiling notes. And we're going to talk to her at the end of this week or maybe on Monday.
But you don't have to talk to her. So
no.
You can
okay.
be honest.
Right.
You're safe. You're in the safety zone.
Exactly.
All right. Good to know.
So you guys dated 3 years ago?
Yeah, it's about 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for how long?
It was probably like 7 months, I guess.
Okay. All right. Now, first guy was how long?
First guy was almost a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 7 months. And just sort of give us a history of the relationship. Things were great, obviously, at first. There must have been some kind of turning point eventually where one of you guys broke it off.
I sort of broke it off just because, you know, at that time I was wild and I was going out. And it just, you know, she wanted to just sort of stay at home and relax and... She also had sort of a hard time getting along with my friends because there was a little bit of an age difference. So,
what was the age difference?
Well, I'm 24 right now. So when we dated, I was probably like 21. Just okay. turned 20, 21.
And she was 30?
She must have been 30 then, yeah.
Wow.
She told us that before, right?
That's not a little bit of an age difference.
That's a 9-year age difference.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So it's the same issue with the same age of the guy. She was just a different age.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, because she was younger with yesterday's guy. They were the same age.
Right. No, I'm saying he was 21 and this guy was 21.
Yeah.
Even, you know... So
she's been boring her whole life.
She's like dazed and confused. That's
but
what she's
dating
likes about 21
year old. Yeah, 21 year old guy.
She gets older and they stay the same
age.
But she's showing a pattern here. Like maybe because she's not that way, she's attracted to guys that are.
Maybe
you got party guy in college. Now, when you guys initially met, did you meet in a bar or a party setting, or how did you initially meet?
Well, she has a younger brother, and I met her through her younger brother. So.
Okay. And
nice.
Was it party, party, party in the beginning of your relationship, and then at some point it tailed off?
You know, I think she put on a good face, you know, for maybe a week or two, but then it pretty quickly was, oh, why don't we stay home tonight? Why don't we not go out? So,
but you must
I was 21
have liked
years
her.
Old. She's a really great girl, but, you know, I was 21 years old, and mm-hmm. I wanted to go out and have fun.
But you must have liked her if that happened right away in the relationship.
There's definitely a lot of chemistry there. There's definitely a lot of sexual chemistry. So,
cool.
Okay.
Okay.
When you guys would go out and you would do your party thing, would she get her drink on pretty good, or was she always sober and sort of in control of things?
Sober. She was the DD for me and my friends a few times.
Oh, that's sad.
Like, Mom.
Hey, Nathan, can your mom come get us? It's my girlfriend! Stop saying that! Kick your ass in beer pong and you're just mad! Take you down a flip cup, too!
Would she get annoyed by you and your friends because she was sober and you guys were hammered all the time?
Like I said, she put on a good face a little while, but yeah, it was pretty clear that there was a problem with the partying. You know, like I said, we were 21 years old. Right. We were going out to get drunk, not just socialize.
Right.
So.
Okay.
That really wasn't her scene. So. Mm-hmm.
She certainly knew what she was getting into. So even though she's saying it's not her scene,
it's the same, but it's the exact same scenario
story as yesterday.
Yeah.
So we are starting
mm-hmm.
to build a pattern here
yeah.
that she dates party, party, party guys, and she doesn't like to party.
Right.
Okay. Anything else there?
And she didn't give you a hard time about going out and partying? She was cool?
No, I mean, she wanted me to stay home with her all the time. So, yeah, right. I mean, it sort of became an issue. That's ultimately why we broke up. You know, it was an issue with, I don't want to go out, and I did want to go out. So,
if you were going to give her some advice now on her next relationship, what would it be?
I would say whoever she dates, she's got to meet halfway, because she was pretty obstinate towards the end there. I mean, she, like I said, she's a nice girl, but towards the end there, it was just my way or, you know, not the highway, because I was sort of the one that broke it off. But, you know, it just go out and, I don't know, just don't be such a homebody.
So she wasn't even willing to go out with you at the very end. She's like, you go do your thing. Come on,
really
back.
Like last 2 or 3 months now. Definitely
okay.
Not.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right, this is a nice big piece to the puzzle here then.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yep. All right, guys.
Really appreciate your time, man.
All right, yeah, glad to help.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Well, okay. Sounds familiar. She doesn't need to date a 21-year-old. She needs to date a guy that's okay to be a homebody.
55-year-old.
Now, she did tell us initially that she did date younger guys, right?
Yep,
so
right.
She sort of she said, gave I dated, us that red flag.
I usually date a year or two younger, I think.
Not 9
quote.
Years younger.
I'm going to laugh if every one of these damn ex-boyfriends is 21 years old. It's be like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah. It would almost be too obvious if that was...
Well, no, keep in mind that we keep saying that, but the one we talked to yesterday... She was only a year older than him. Like,
right.
He was still young,
mm-hmm.
but he was their boyfriend from
they
10 years ago.
They were both young, yeah.
So.
I understand, but I just find it interesting that regardless of her age, again, the guys are the same. The guys.
Same type guy, party guy, and she's not a party girl.
Right.
Okay. We'll see if it happens again tomorrow. That'll be interesting.
Tomorrow morning, same time, we'll have ex-boyfriend number 3 on. Tracy here thinks that we're being unfair. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, you guys were saying yesterday that it seems like she kind of changed her personality. She was all outgoing at first. I'm talking about the first guy, of course. But what I wanted to stress was that, I mean, she was pre-law at the time. Maybe her classes weren't as hard or as demanding. But, I mean, as that second semester rolled around, she really had to buckle down.
Sure.
And this guy today, it's like, whatever. You're 21. Are you kidding me?
But
you know.
She chose him. I mean, that's the point that I think I'm making is she's choosing these guys that party a lot, even though she doesn't party much. So maybe that will be the continued trend throughout the week. We don't know.
Who knows?
We'll see.
All right, Tracy, thank you.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So what if you're looking to lose weight, but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. That's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
The Bird Show.
Hi, so Melissa Carter, this is really exciting. You talk about exclusive, and this had nothing to do with The Bird Show or Melissa Carter, news director on The Bird Show. This was...
Total geek Melissa.
Totally different.
Well, and it was a NASA tweet up for the launch of the Space Shuttle Atlantis yesterday. And a tweet up, I mean, it's, of course, based on Twitter, so you have to be a Twitter member. But Burst Big Adventure kind of turned into a tweet up this past year, because it's basically where we all, if you followed, we all were at Burt's Big Adventure, and we tweeted about our experience. You went to the Burt's Big Adventure website and you saw all of our tweets, just kind of scroll up the screen so that you could follow along with what's going on, even if you couldn't go. Well, the same with the Atlantis launch. NASA, who doesn't have much of a budget and who understands that the space program is in trouble, you know, because it's always based on new administrations and budget money. So everybody's worried about the recession and budgeting concerns. So NASA's like, you know, we want people to be invested in our space program, and we want young people to be reinvested in the space program. So we're doing this tweet up. Well, I am a geek. I'm a space geek. I love sci-fi and everything space. So I already followed NASA. And they had announced that they were going to do a tweet up. And so I thought, there is no way I'm going to get in, because the announcement was made that the first 100 people to sign this online registration form at a certain time on a certain day was going to be able to be invited to the Kennedy Space Center and watch the launch. And it's on your own dime. NASA wasn't paying for it.
Right.
But if you wanted to be a part of it, then sign up. And I thought, should I? Well, I regret if I don't, but I'm not going to get in. Who cares? I didn't even tell anybody. I didn't tell Katie. I didn't tell my other space buddies. I was just like, you know, let me just do this.
You have space buddies?
I mean, people who are into space with me, yes, hello.
Space buddy.
Whatever.
Not,
I
Melissa,
just
I'm going to have to
let her have her time.
Okay, you're right.
Let her have her golden moment.
You got it.
I'm running on 2 hours sleep. Cool. Whatever. My friends who are also invested in this kind of thing. So anyway, so and I signed up and a few, you know, it was about a week or so later, I got the email saying that I got in. I could not believe it. So anyway, that's what we were part of. And I didn't think a lot about it because I knew I was going to be excited about it, but I thought a tweet up, it's not going to be, you know, I'm going to get down there and they'll have a place for us to tweet and that'll be it. But when we got down there, it was almost as if we were VIP because for NASA, it was 100 of us from around the world. There were people there from Morocco, from New Zealand, from England, who had, again, all of us, our own expenses to get there all over the country.
And not like in an Epcot way, like real people from real countries.
That's right, exactly.
Not from Disney
World.
Yeah,
exactly. And they knew that collectively, my understanding is there probably was about 150,000 followers of all of us collectively. So they knew that that would be 150,000 followers that may not care anything about the space shuttle launch or even knew that it was happening that would, maybe would be invested in it. So
I think it's pretty cool that people in other countries can't, because are we, us and Russia are the only ones who go to space,
well, China
space,
has
right?
a program, Iran, but I mean, when it comes to launching rockets.
But like
we're
space
much,
station, it's right. us and Russia, right?
Yeah, that's
the
correct.
People in space.
The, yeah, cool. The International Space Station is Russia and the United States.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it so when we got there, it was Sunday morning call at 8 o'clock and Monday morning call at 8 o'clock. And it was a full day of activities in which... Like, you know, Sunday, we got on NASA buses and we were given tours. So we got to tour the facilities in which the space shuttles are built and put together. We got to tour the facilities. Unfortunately, there was one really solemn moment where there was a hangar that had the emblem of the Space Shuttle Columbia on it. And that was the place where they had gone through. That's where all of the Columbia pieces were brought and examined.
Wow.
So it's a sacred place on NASA as they pass by that hangar.
Now, I know this is probably from my, like, watching E.T. or Space Camp, but I imagine you guys all having to be in, like, suits or something as you go through this museum.
Silvery,
thing.
The silvery
yes.
suits.
Yeah, like,
one
like they have to be in one-piece jumpsuits. Why do I think that?
That would have been cool, but no. They did not provide us with that. Or
you're
we would have
never going to be one of Melissa's space buddies.
Shut up. So the impressions I had leading up to the launch, because everything was leading up to the launch. It was information about the space shuttle. It was information about the people a part of it. There were astronauts that came to talk to us. NASA people came to talk to us. And the whole time we're tweeting. So, you know, if you go to NASA tweet up /NASA tweet up, you can follow. You can see all of what everybody tweeted all weekend long. And so we're trying to get that information out there leading up to the launch. But one thing I noticed is, one, the NASA property is bigger than Walt Disney World property, which I thought was fascinating. If you're from the South and you've been to Walt Disney World, mm-hmm. that's a massive property that only, what, a third of it is used. Mm-hmm. Well, NASA property down there is bigger. And so, and all the buildings are these bland 1960s, brown, no windows, very government. You know, it's not anything that you think, oh, this fanfare, we're going to be... seeing the, you know, like Epcot, we're going to see this big golf ball
right.
that's like Epcot in the middle of all the space cool things. And it's just brown buildings in the middle of like really sandy Florida, you know, almost kind of marshlands.
Is it all top secret?
I assume
I would
so.
Imagine most of that stuff is top secret because you don't want other countries having that information.
Yeah,
right?
Like if Melissa doesn't show up for work tomorrow, we're going to know she said too much.
Yeah. Exactly. But I didn't notice that there
one
were
of our space buddies ratted her out. Sorry. Last time.
The NASA van is just going to pull up to that.
You're going to be my space buddy before this is over with. So anyway, there was somebody that noticed that there were no windows in the building. I didn't even pay attention to that. But anyway, we were going around and so there's this inload of information. But it was yesterday that we arrived at the launch site. A spectators area, which is 3 miles away from the shuttle.
So listen to this now. She told us this morning. Front row for the launch is 3 miles away.
3 miles away. And Jeff told me off air that anybody that has NASA contacts can get up to 2 miles, but that's as close as you can get. You know, a lot of people may think that, like, if you see that famous scene of people on a green field with the countdown clock and the shuttle launching
that's
behind
3 miles.
It, that's where I was, and that's 3 miles away.
I had no idea.
And they were explaining to us because not only the danger. I mean, we got this form where there's, you know, the danger because that's a huge bomb that the shuttle is attached to, mm-hmm. Where the fuel is. And there's a plume cloud of steam that we learned that comes, you know, you see the big white cloud after it's launched.
there's a lot of acid rain that falls from that because of everything that's burned in, you know, the rocket. So you're away from that for a little bit. There, sometimes the acid rain, if the wind blows enough, hits the people that are watching. Wow. But
what a cool scar.
Yeah. I know, but we were warned about that.
Why are you all speckled? I was at a rocket launch.
Yeah, you know, no big deal. But it's the sound. The sound is the number one thing that can cause death of people who are too close.
Unreal. And is it like the vibrations just screw up your heart or something?
I assume so. They were explaining to us, and I said this a little earlier, where there's 350 gallons of water that they pour. Like if you watch a close-up of a launch or the replay of yesterday, you'll see this water all of a sudden shoot out onto the launch pad. And that is to not only keep it cool from the rocket, but also to absorb the sound. And because even at the launch site, if they launch without that water, the tiles on the bottom of Atlantis would blow off from the sound of the rocket being launched.
The same danger exists for Tardy for the Party.
Exactly. You just ripped the words right out of my mouth, Jim.
I was just wondering, how do the astronauts survive that if they're inside the shuttle and they're right there where all that sound is?
They're sitting on their backs. And by the way, they're sitting on their backs for like 4 hours before the launch. So anyway, there's so much information. I'm sorry. I keep droning on and on.
That's the only part of being an astronaut that you could pull off right there, isn't it?
Laying on my back. And you know what's funny is that Tempur-Pedic, which I love, you know how it says, you know, invented by astronauts. The Tempur-Pedic technology was invented so when those guys are laying on their backs at launch, it's underneath their necks to support their necks during the launch.
Really?
That's where Tempur-Pedic comes from. Fascinating. So anyway, so we're there at the launch, and the tent for the tweet up, let me just say that, you know, because Jeff introduced us to Twitter, what was it, 2 years ago? Because Jeff has been on Twitter longer than the rest of us, and he was letting us know, look, guys, this is the future of communication. It's the future of, you know, this is something special. And yesterday was a testament to that, because we had this huge air-conditioned white tent, looked like a circus tent. All the other news agencies were around us, but we were the ones that were treated like VIPs. It was 100 tweeters in there that were tweeting about the launch, and all the astronauts are coming to talk to us, and all the NASA officials are coming to talk to us, and all the people from like AP and CBS and all.
CNN's like, hey, wait, can I get a minute?
CNN was there outside the tent trying to get in to interview people.
So you were supplying the information for the world yesterday on the launch.
Yes, absolutely.
And I loved what you said about everybody being in their BlackBerry prayer pose.
Yes, that's what they call it. Yeah, the BlackBerry prayer when you're down. Because they said, the astronauts said, this is the weirdest audience to have because we know you're typing as we're talking, but nobody's looking at them as they're talking, you know. And so we go out to the launch site, and so we're leading up, and NASA TV's on, and NASA TV shows the astronauts getting ready. And one quick story, and I'm sorry, I know this is going too long, but one quick story about the astronauts. When they are headed to the launch site, they're in what's called an astrovan, and it goes down this road, and they purposely pass the people that are watching the site. Mm-hmm. So, and everybody's waving and cheering, and they're waving outside the windows and stuff, and there's this big helicopter that is their security helicopter that leads them to the launch site. So that was really cool to see the astronauts.
I want
to
ride in an astro van.
So that was really cool how there's astronauts.
How many astronauts on this one?
There's six on this launch. So there's six.
How many men and how many women?
All six are men. They're bringing back a woman from the International Space Station. So I think they're swapping out.
How long has she been up there?
I don't know how long she's been up there. But
that's kind of crazy. She's been on the moon by herself?
Is she up there solo?
At the space station, the International Space Station in orbit. So there's two people up there, yeah.
Please tell me it's another woman.
I think it's a guy.
Because the guy's like, get me out of here.
They would never put two women on the space station at the same time
on account of
oxygen usage.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Come on.
Seriously.
That's a lot of training.
Now you just
for
became
them.
A space buddy.
Yeah. So, yeah, so the astrovan goes by. So that was really neat to see everybody scream and yell at the astronauts as they went by. And they said that was the largest audience that they'd had since the Apollo missions.
Part of history, man.
Yeah, the tweet up people were like, well, we probably had a little bit to do with that. I didn't say that, but they did. And then we go out to that site where the clock is, where the grass is, and we're ready to go. And all these people have all their cameras ready. And we were told, look, if you're a first-time launch viewer, don't bring your camera. Experience it, because they said no picture that you're going to take is any better than what NASA's going to take.
There's going to be a million
right
pictures
there.
Anyways when you're done, and it doesn't make a difference if you took it or someone else did.
Exactly. So all these people had their tripods out, and I sit right in the front with my little recorder, and I'm sitting there to record the sound of the launch, because that's one thing that I don't think people understand.
So is there, before I play the audio here, and it's about a minute and a half long, is there a big countdown clock, and is there audio saying 10, 9, 8, 7 also?
There are two places to watch the launch, because we're on kind of a water, so we're kind of on there's like a pond in between us, a little lake in between us and the launch site. So we are on where that countdown clock is. So we are sitting on the lawn with that famous countdown clock that you see, the big long metal one. Mm-hmm. Then across a parking lot is where the spectators who are just residents of Florida or anybody who traveled come in their RVs. They have the speakers. We have the clock.
They're tailgating. Awesome. They get their days.
Yes, they are tailgating for this. And so the speaker is across the parking lot, but you can barely hear it, but it is there.
Okay. So this is Melissa Carter at the shuttle as it's launching, okay? And she's 3 miles away. That's the wind? Is that still wind, or is that...
That's part of the sound coming towards you. It takes a second for it to hit you.
Yeah. Can you feel a breeze or anything?
You feel the vibration. That popping is like you're in a tent with the... you are shaking.
Wow.
That's awesome. Good call with the audio.
And it's that popping. It's fascinating. And we could see the shuttle all the way to where the rocket the boosters were separated from the the shuttle.
Wendy sent a picture from someone in Orlando.
That's from my sister.
That you retweeted. That was like, you can see it going over Orlando.
And you said that you were like so filled up with emotion.
Oh, I couldn't talk. Like I wanted to say something, but tears. Cool. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So what if you're looking to lose weight, but not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to lower your blood sugar, burn fat by converting it into energy, and curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Here is even better news. They're having a huge Memorial Day sale, and Lean is 25% off. Visit TakeLean.com and enter THANKYOU25 for 25% off. It's promo code THANKYOU25 at TakeLean.com.
You're on The Bird Show.
All right, Janet Jackson, first of all, I will say this, that normally we do not take interviews if stipulations go along with those interviews.
They say, you can talk to the celebrity, but you cannot ask about their personal life at all whatsoever, and please don't ask about the one dramatic thing that happened to them in the last 5 years.
I think there are some shows that will book that interview, and they sort of feel like the level of the celebrity is so high that there's entertainment value just in having that person's voice on the radio. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way. So we have always said that if they give us stipulations, we don't take the interview. We've passed on big-time interviews before. We passed on Ryan Reynolds because he wouldn't talk about Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm. And it was right after they got married,
right? After they got married. How can you have an interview and not ask about that? It just doesn't seem authentic, right?
Eric Estrada. We didn't do Eric Estrada.
Because he wouldn't talk about chips.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
I was trying to think of the other guy's name, and just like in the 70s, I can't remember that other
something
guy's name.
Baker. John Baker on the show?
Sorry, Wendy.
So,
a TV show in the 70s. Go ahead.
The Janet Jackson interview here, I think I felt a little bit differently about it. Jeff sent out an email saying, look, here's the deal. We can have her, but you're not allowed to ask about Michael. And my initial reaction was like, how can we authentically do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the biggest thing that happened to her in the last year. So how is it possible that we take this interview? So I started playing it over in my head, and it really was a no-risk proposition because we were recording the interview. And if there was nothing to play for you guys, we just wouldn't play the interview, really. You know, mm-hmm. Perhaps we wouldn't play the interview. But we thought that we could ask her questions that sort of had to do with Michael without asking her about Michael, and maybe she would sort of take the bait and she would share with us everything that's happened.
Well, and I think, too, you have to remember that her publicity people are looking out for her with sure. all radio stations that she talks to. And you can imagine some mm-hmm. jerk, you know, morning host somewhere around the country being like, so how do you feel about your dead brother? Or do something really, yes. really tacky mm-hmm.
right.
and
totally.
Really offensive and hurtful. And I think that, you know, as they get to know us better, they know that we're not going to handle it that way. That's tacky and rude. I mean, you wouldn't ask anybody
mm-hmm.
about their, you know, sibling that just died. Like, you wouldn't bring it up in a brash way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of morning shows around the country would bring it up in that way mm-hmm. and be really offensive and hurtful.
We suffer from the mistakes of so many other stations.
I agree.
Right. And, you know, from time to time, we might have been guilty of it also with other celebrities, lesser celebrities. But in this case, Jenna's right. We're walking a really tight line here because mm-hmm. we didn't want to be tacky, but we did want to have an interview that had some more meaning to it. So we started talking to Janet about it yesterday, and sure enough, about halfway through the interview, she did indeed lighten up and mm-hmm. give us some insight what's like for her the last year.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. She's typically a difficult person to interview because she's very quiet and subdued.
She's guarded. And and how could you not be?
Right.
You know, so as I was playing this interview over in my head yesterday afterwards, there's so many other questions I think we could have asked or I could have asked specifically that would have made it better. But I was so focused on not offending that I wasn't even listening to the answers. Like, she talked about the Scream video, and there's a perfect opportunity there to say, what do you remember most about the Scream video? And she would have obviously started talking about Michael, but I chickened out. I just didn't want to offend her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she did open up about some stuff and a lot of stuff. She opened up about her weight loss and her weight gain,
mm-hmm.
how she views the tabloids, how she's become very, very protective of her nieces and nephews, about Jermaine Dupri and their relationship. And she's going to tell you it's not what you guys think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Janet Jackson. And the reason she's talking about it is she's got a new CD out today.
Yeah, it's number one. So it comes out today. It has a new single on there, but it's 33 of her number one hits.
Oh, and I want you to listen for this also. Were there some times during the interview yesterday where her voice sounded so much like Michael? Like the way she...
I didn't pay attention to that.
The way she inflects and... Specifically, when she was talking about not wanting to talk about all these number ones, she got so humble about mm-hmm. not wanting to talk about her success. I think she even says, it's embarrassing to talk about these things, which is exactly what Michael used to say.
I know their singing voices got very similar. Like Janet, some of Janet's songs on one of her CDs, I thought was a little, they started sounding alike singing.
A little
so
bit.
I'm curious to hear this.
Janet Jackson on The Burt Show, Q100.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Janet Jackson.
Hi.
You sound amazingly like Janet Jackson.
Well, I wonder why.
Weird. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Hey, we need your help with something that we started this morning. How much time are you spending in Atlanta these days?
Not much.
Like, are you saying 30% of your time now is spent in Atlanta?
No.
20%. Do I have a 10? Can I get 5?
I spent time in Atlanta doing the film, Why Did I Get Married To?
Okay, here's our beef, because you have spent some time here before, is the word Hotlanta is absolutely driving us crazy. And
but when people say that?
Yes. It's like nails on a chalkboard for us.
It's just old news, and everybody outside of Atlanta keeps using it to refer to Atlanta.
Yeah, well, I guess because it's old news for you guys. Did it stem from there? I mean, I know it's about you, but was it created in Atlanta?
Well, the rumor is that, like, the Board of Tourism started this, like, 25, 30 years ago.
Oh, really?
But it's just so cheesy that we started a campaign this morning to stop using the word Hotlanta. And there is nothing that has more credibility than when a celebrity backs your campaign.
But why would you? I mean, it's part of what also helped to put you on the map, aside from the music that's come out of there. being a Georgia peach and all that good stuff.
Because it's like we got the A now. People, you know, it's just Hotlanta. Just for people that live here, sounds so dated. And you have to follow us on this because we need your support.
It's like if you went to somewhere from I'm assuming you're calling us from California, from Los Angeles.
Yes.
So it's like if you, you know, called us and we were like, "Hey, Janet, what's going on in La La Land?"
At LAX.
Yeah, you kind of be like, "Eh," you wince a little bit. No.
It wouldn't matter to me, honestly. But see, you have a lot of older people that probably still say that, right?
Well, we're trying to push those people out.
Oh, that's awful. They can't do.
Nope, just young people in Atlanta. That's all we want.
We want new exciting trends.
All right. What
Atlanta's not part.
All we're asking you is when you tell people that you've spent some time in Atlanta, when they jokingly say back to you, "Oh, Hotlanta, how is it?" The first thing you politely say is, "Well, they don't call it Hotlanta anymore."
Okay, so I'm supposed to say this in our conversation?
Yeah, you know, when it comes up, when you're talking in L.A. around celebrities, when anybody says Hotlanta, if you could just correct them and say, you know what, they really don't call it that anymore, that would be tremendous for us.
Okay.
We got a deal?
Okay.
Deal.
And you know what? And you know what would help too. Also, if you said, "And Tyler Perry doesn't like it either."
No, I'm not putting that on top. You have to speak to him about it.
So, Janet, number ones comes out tomorrow, and I'm looking at this thing, and 33 number ones from around the world.
Yes.
33. Does that number even like astonish you at times?
It's a great body of work. I've never thought about. Okay, how many number ones do I have? I keep moving and keep going and keep creating. But when I look at the body of work, I mean it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good? That's like saying, "Hey, the Mona Lisa is a pretty good painting."
I feel embarrassed.
Well, you should be proud of yourself. It's amazing. And I want to hear about the new single, "Make Me." What is this all about?
It's about being at a club and there's this guy that you know that's a great dancer. You want him to get up and move, get up and have a good time like everybody else.
You know, when I look at some of the songs on this list here, just when I hear the word of the song, it will bring me back to a time in my life when that song was popular. Like "Control" brings me back to college. If I just say the words like "Black Cat," will it do the same thing for you too? Does it bring you back to that time?
Mm-hmm. It does. Either creating the song or being on the Rhythm Nation tour performing it.
So if I say the word "nasty," the song "Nasty," what do you think of?
I think about how the song was created, walking down the street in Minneapolis, and guys were kind of trying to get at me, and it was driving me nuts.
How about the song "Scream"? Initially, what do you think of?
Shooting the video, I would say. Shooting the video.
Did we cover "Control" also?
Well, you covered "Control."
How about you cover "Control"?
That was my first time ever being on a stage alone. Well, it goes back to the video, and it was supposed to be, you know, live performance. And I had never performed by myself before, not like that. We did it at a convention center, and it was a sea of people, a sea of kids. And so that was kind of like my first live performance on my own.
Janet, on next Sunday, the 22nd, we're hearing that you are slated to open the 37th Annual American Music Awards, and it's going to be a big performance. What do you do to get ready for something like that?
I rehearse like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, nonstop.
Yeah, you rehearse. You rehearse a good deal. There's a few things that are coming up, so there's been quite a bit of rehearsal. And it's been fun. Been a great deal of fun. And trying to just put it all together and hopefully everybody at home and the people in the audiences will enjoy it.
Do you still get nervous right before you go on stage?
No. I never got nervous before except for one time when I did. It was really weird. I think it had to have been the Velvet Rope project because my hair was red. And I was doing the American Music Awards. And they asked me, "Are you nervous?" And I said, you know, the funny thing about it, and I was doing an interview, I said, "I don't get nervous, but I've got a little something in my stomach tonight." And that was the only time that I had ever gotten nervous as an adult performing.
Even with the MTV Video Music Awards? I mean, it was an amazing, amazing tribute. And it was such an emotional time for you. No nerves at that at all?
No nerves. No nerves at all.
Huh. And you're working on a book now, right?
Yes, I am. It's called True You. And it's really about, a lot of people have wanted to know how how I did it, how I lost weight. And you know, I still have issues where I fluctuate, and it goes into you know, my personal life somewhat. And it also, there are anecdotes from fans that I've collected throughout the years, and stories of their lives and certain issues and my music inspiring them and me talking with them. And it stems, I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but it starts from your kid years on up, because that's where it started. It stemmed from, for me, as a kid, and self-esteem, and all that went on. And in talking to a few stories from young people at that time, all because I've been in this business since I was 7 years old, so I have a lot of letters that were written to me. So it talks about a lot, from kids to teens to adults, and it goes through the whole gamut, and my life as well.
Does it include your relationships in it, the relationships you've been through the years?
It's not an autobiography, mm-hmm. but it touches upon certain moments in my life that I think are kind of important. Not necessarily a specific relationship, but there may have been something that happened within a relationship that triggered something and caused me at that moment to become this emotional eater that I can be.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it goes through those times, and even as a kid, dealing with certain issues that still tend to affect me to this day. And some people, it rolls right off their back, some kids, and others, it sticks with them. So it's like that. So I wish when I was a kid I had a book like this to read. I think it would have been helpful for me. And then there are recipes within the book.
That's cool.
That, you know, I just didn't want to leave them, okay, this is what happened in my life and other people's lives. And not trying to be a guru, not saying that I'm some psychologist or psychiatrist, just my point of view and what worked for me and what my concerns are and what I've seen being introduced to so many people throughout this world.
Jen, when you talk about the weight and you talk about dealing with eating as far as stress goes, is it extremely painful for you when tabloids touch upon that part of your life?
It used to be. It's not anymore, but I don't really see it. People can be cruel, and they're there. That's their job, is the way that I see it. That's their job, to give as much drama as they possibly can. Because if they're not messy, people aren't going to want to buy the magazine, because that's what they're buying it for the mess. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's not. You know, there are a lot of times when it's not true about the artist, but the artist just don't. Some fight back. Some just say, you know what? I don't have time for this. It's petty. I'm moving on. But it can be hurtful.
Was there one specific rumor where you learned that lesson and you turned it off at that point?
Just tuned out completely?
Yeah.
There's been a few, but I think it gets pretty painful when they involve, like, my nieces and nephews. You know, silly stories like my niece is actually my daughter. My daughter is, in other words, I had a child and my brother's raising my child. Things like that. It's just crazy.
And how do you shield your nieces and nephews from those kind of rumors?
It's hard. It's hard to shield them. I call them and I talk to them, and it's very difficult. I have a very big family, but you try to protect them as much as you can. But, you know, you try to talk to them, and hopefully they understand. And they were born in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, you can't pick your family that you're born into. They were born into this, and you try to make it as easy as you possibly can for them. So when it comes up, I call them and I talk with them. And it's, you know, it's certain niece in particular, and they say that we look alike. Well, why wouldn't we look alike? We're related, you know?
Janet, there's so many exciting things that are going on with you right now. Obviously, the CD that's going to drop. You got some new stuff coming out next year. The book we talked about. But on the other hand, you know, it's been a whirlwind of emotion for you this year also. What have you learned about yourself this year?
Well, I guess I learned it before too, that I'm a strong woman, but I'm a lot stronger than I thought I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very, and I think I get that. Well, both of my parents are strong, but my mother is incredibly strong, and I think a part of you has to be to be in this business because a lot of stuff is thrown at you. But this year has taught me that for sure. I'm very strong. And even my friends said to me, written me notes saying, you know, I take my hat off to you, just watching you and seeing you and being with you every day. It's amazing how you can control it all.
Who do you lean on the most in the times when you need support?
It all depends. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's, if it's an ex that I still speak with, then he's definitely a friend. That's it. I mean, there have been fans that have been there for me. The fans are always supportive and there for me. So it all depends upon what it is.
Is the ex that you speak of, is that Jermaine Dupri? Is that where you get a lot of that strength you're talking about? You know you're talking to an Atlanta radio station.
Yes, Jermaine, he's one of my best friends. I love, love, love him to death. He's such a sweetheart. He's one of my best friends, and we're still connected. We're still good friends. We still talk. That's not me. I'm not that kind of girl that stays in touch with your ex like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's never happened to me before. And, there's one other person that I dated for a very, very short moment that we're still good friends as well.
And does he do the same when things are going kind of down? Will he pick up the phone and will he call you?
Who's he, the other person or Jermaine?
Jermaine.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. We're there for one another.
That's great.
And I think it'll remain that way for the rest of our lives.
You think you could say something to him about the Hotlanta thing?
I definitely will.
See, he didn't contribute it because he did Welcome to Atlanta. It wasn't
right.
Welcome to Hotlanta.
Right.
He got it before everybody else did. Hey, good luck with the new album. I know it's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to the new stuff is coming out next year.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm excited too.
And we'll be cheering for you watching the AMAs.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Janet.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so that's Janet Jackson on the show.
Very cool.
Yeah. That's so nervous. I think Jen and I were talking before we went into it, is this that you're so consumed with trying to get information, you know, that you think that listeners want to hear, but you don't want to cross the line of being tacky.
Mm-hmm.
And that was weighing on my mind the entire time.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful with that, especially in light of, you know, her brother died this year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty heavy thing to have to go in front of the press and talk about over and over and over again. And, yeah, we were walking on eggshells at the beginning. But by the end, we got the big laugh out of her, you know?
She laughed. Janet Jackson laughed.
She likes
Jeff,
us. She
Jeff
really likes
her
us.
Belly laugh.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.